Hey everybody, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. This is Andrew Colvett filling in for the one and only Charlie Kirk. Honored to be doing so. Hour one, is Biden really going to run? Or are the signals coming through that he is in fact on the way out and that he is going to pass the torch to Gavin Newsom, Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris? Who could be waiting in the wings? What is really happening? We also talk about Michigan and a fascinating new poll that sheds light on the third-party existential threat facing the Democrat Party. And then we bring in Julie Kelly for a discussion about J6, the newest indictment against Trump, where it all came from, where it's going, and how it all might be part of a larger scheme. We dive into it, and we don't hold anything back, I'll tell you that. Without further ado, buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
So, but I want to get started here with this central question that really does animate so much. It's all behind the scenes. We know it's happening, but the Dems and especially Joe Biden and his team, his cadre, are going to be mum on it. What is that? Well, a new report from Free Beacon, top Dems prepare replacement for Biden. This is from the Free Beacon. Top Dems prepare replacement for Biden. Donors and officials privately say the president won't actually be running for re-election, CNN reports. So this is a whisper campaign. They said in whispers and furtive phone calls, top Democrat donors and officials are saying that President Joe Biden won't actually be running for re-election. This is very interesting because up until now, his public sentiments have all been around the fact that, yes, indeed, he is going to run. This is as sure as death and taxes, no pun intended for an octogenarian. He is going to run. He's running for re-election. He's the only guy, just like in 2020, this happy Uncle Joe that can run against Trump and beat him. Well, those Democrats are talking to possible replacement presidential candidates, according to the report, and urging them to get ready. They say that the time is already running out for Biden, who has officially announced his candidacy, but hasn't named a campaign finance director, hired any on-the-ground staff in competitive states, or even opened a campaign headquarters. All very, very interesting notes to take. He has, again, let's repeat, no on-the-ground staff, no campaign finance director, no competitive state, swing state, ground game. And he has even opened a campaign headquarters. So this is a persistent sense, according to the report, that Biden is running. But, however, there is this threat that we talked about yesterday that Charlie outlined in brilliant detail. You got the No Labels Party. You got RFK Jr., who's polling at like 20% in approval ratings. Now, some of that support is certainly coming from conservatives. You've got Cornel West, Dr. Cornel West, waiting in the wings. Now, we reported yesterday that the Biden camp is feverishly working to deal with this third-party threat. They see it as existential. And lo and behold, we have this new poll out of Michigan. So this is from Emerson College. Take a look at that. Now, it says they're dead tied. It's a dead heat, 44-44 in Michigan. Now, of all the swing states, Michigan was probably the least competitive for Trump in 2020. Gretchen Whitmer has essentially squashed conservative power in that state, the witch from the north. Now, but here's the interesting part. If you look at that second group of numbers, Trump gets 43% and Biden 41%. And Dr. Cornel West gets 4%. So what you see here is one of the first examples of why the left is so terrified of these third-party candidates. This is a repeat of 2016, where a Green Party candidate, Jill Stein, ran and actually got more support than Trump's margin of victory in states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. This is the first sign of an existential threat to the Democrat Party. Trump wins Michigan if Cornel West runs. Now, like clockwork, Charlie predicted all of this. The trolls at the Daily Beast came out with a hit piece against Cornel West yesterday that says he has not paid $500,000 in taxes. That's right. We get the report from Politico. Lay out the timeline for you. Report from Politico comes out, says the Biden campaign is feverishly working to snuff out third-party competitors. Next, Dr. Cornel West hasn't paid $500,000 in taxes. Now, there is no irony in this report that they were just about, the regime media was just about to cheer on Hunter Biden's sweetheart plea deal with the Department of Justice, where he had not paid over $2 million in taxes. And they were about to cheer that on as justice served before a very prudent judge snuffed it out. Now, here's the deal. They can't necessarily deal with all of the threats that are facing Joe Biden right now. And meanwhile, we get reports that Gavin Newsom is doing all the things you would do as someone waiting in the wings. He set up a pack just like you normally would. There's on top of that, by the way, not just I'll get back to the Gavin Newsom piece. The No Labels Party is Manchin has not ruled out a third party run. Gavin Newsom gearing up, RFK Jr., Dr. Cornel West, all of these threats hurt the Democrat Party. So when we're all saying that we've got no ground game, the RNC is incompetent, all of these things are true. We need a Hail Mary. Yes, Trump can be competitive. Absolutely. He won in 2016. He can do it again. He essentially lost 2020. I know our audience. He lost on paper by about 42,000 votes in three states. But this poll in Michigan is the canary in the coal mine. And now, Gavin Newsom, back to the Gavin Newsom thing. You won't say he's running, but now we see that he's debating Ron DeSantis. Why would you do all these things? The super PAC, the ground game, he's hired consultants, he's hired ad buyers, he's hired all the things that you do. Why would he be doing that if not waiting in the wings for Joe Biden to quietly surprise everybody? And there you go, Washington Free Beacon. PAC spending shows how Gavin Newsom is positioning himself for a presidential bid. California Governor Gavin Newsom in March launched a PAC to take on red state authoritarian leaders and created a constitutional gun control amendment. Newsom said in the organization's launch video that he was going to the states led by these strong men like Ron DeSantis and investing in people and organizations where they're fighting back. All of this is a ploy. There has never been in the modern times, maybe besides Obama, but not even a politician so slick and slippery and serpentine as Gavin Newsom. So what can we conclude? We're hearing that Joe Biden really might not be running. He's got all these headwinds with third-party candidates, Devin Archer testifying. He's got his son, a perpetual liability, and Gavin Newsom waiting in the wings. Will he run? That's the question. Now, I don't know what Charlie would say on this, but my prediction is that even Joe Biden doesn't know if he's going to run. I think that eventually, the heat will ratchet up to an extreme degree. Biden's going to bow out. Unceremonious.
Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. And we want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investments. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire. Let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial, who I use for my wealth management future, develop a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide to pivoting into the new chapter of life with purpose, visit paxfg.com/Charlie. That is paxfg.com/Charlie. paxfg.com/Charlie.
Is Biden really going to run? Now, look, let's look back. Go to 157 here. Let's show that poll again. 4% in Michigan are willing to vote for West over Biden in a three-way race. What does that tell you? Now, we like to talk about the Democrats as this sort of hive mind organism that just thinks one way, and they are constantly on the same page. They're in lockstep, iron fist, while Republicans, you know, we're so independently minded. We're just all over the place. Make no mistake, folks. The Democrat coalition is a ragtag group of far left communists, a few moderates, and then essentially establishment, you know, hacks that just want to keep the money flowing. Okay. What this poll shows you is that 4% are complete ideologues in Michigan. Different states is going to have different numbers. But what I can tell you is that this tells you that the coalition that has been pieced together through duct tape and bubblegum in the Democrat Party is fragile. 4% going for West, an unviable candidate. That means there's 4% of Democrat voters that are so ticked off at the fact that the Democrats haven't completely destroyed the economy and the capitalist system, that they haven't completely burned it down to the ground, that they're ready to get behind a guy like Cornel West, who, I mean, mind you, I have a lot of respect for Cornel West. I think he's a fascinating figure. I disagree with him entirely on just about everything, but I think he's an interesting person. I think it's fascinating that 4% are willing to basically throw their votes away on a third party candidate rather than vote for Joe Biden. Now, let's go back to this piece, Top Dems Prepare for Biden Replacement. All right, let's look at this. Okay, so you've got, let's just game it out. Now, who are they going to actually run if he bows out, if Biden bows out? Now, we've got Kamala Harris. But even in this article, it says Kamala Harris can't win a general election, one Capitol Hill Democrat told New York Magazine last year. Obviously, we've talked about Gavin Newsom. Now, I think Gavin Newsom is going to present a formidable challenge. But you've also got, Gretchen Whitmer, the Witch of the North in Michigan, no less. Now, she's a very formidable fundraiser, I've been told. She's also apparently a formidable organizer. She understands the levers of power. She's, like I said, snuffed out essentially the conservative party, the Republican Party in Michigan. It's been hard to watch in that state because there's a lot of patriots out there that are getting completely steamrolled by her. Now, interestingly enough, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg has relaunched a super PAC. And actually, Gretchen Whitmer has relaunched her super PAC as well. So between these two, I mean, it's actually pretty sad how shallow the Democrat bench is. I mean, who are you going to run? Like Swalwell, Schiff? None of these people are viable. They're hated. AOC, completely hated. And then the guys that are actually sort of moderates, Manchin is considering a third party. So you got Gavin Newsom, sticks out like a sore thumb. But let's go back to the way he's spending his money. This is what I think is really interesting. So it says Newsom's national fundraising and spending numbers come as Biden's approval rating hits an all-time low of 35%. That's according to Pew. Some have him at 42%. Some have him at 35%. He's bad. Now, actually, we would have said that Biden was the weakest incumbent candidate in a generation or perhaps ever. But he's not. Jimmy Carter was lower, 29% approval rating, and that was before Iran-Contra. So, but he's essentially the second weakest incumbent candidate that we'd ever seen. So 75% of Democrats don't want Joe Biden to run again. He's underwater on ethics in the White House. We just learned that. But check this out. So Gavin Newsom has funneled $11.6 million from his gubernatorial campaign to the Campaign for Democracy, his PAC. So he's spending on social media, big ad spends. Where is he doing it? In red states. In red states. He's also sent $10,000 to Arkansas Democrats and the Democrat challenger to Ted Cruz in Texas. He's essentially flushing money down the drain. He's not trying to help Democrats. He is not trying to help Democrats. He's trying to increase his name ID. He's trying to present himself as a reasonable Democrat that gets things done and knows how to go toe-to-toe with the evil Republicans, the strong. Every indication is that he is setting himself up to run, and Biden is going to bow out.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 1970s when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the U.S. government seems bent on continuing the tradition. From now until the next election, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did it, inflation went up 9%. This means one thing. The security of your future and your family's future is all in your hands. Make sure you freeze the value of your wealth that you are holding. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the one asset that has proven to withstand recession, inflation, and just about all other economic threats. Noble Gold Investments is here to help you if you want to invest in gold. You will also get a 24-karat, 1/4 of an ounce gold standard coin for free. Just go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. They're the only gold company I trust. If you want to buy gold, they do a great job. NobleGoldInvestments.com. They're patriotic, transparent, ethical, and responsive. I think the world of Noble Gold Investments is where I buy my gold from. You should too. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Let's bring on the wonderful Julie Kelly. Julie, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. How are you?
Good. How are you, Andrew? Thanks for having me on.
I'm doing great. Thank you, Julie. I was texting you yesterday, and I just want to we've got a lot to cover in our short time together, but I got to start with this guy because I saw you tweeting about him and then Charlie tweeted about him. I cannot stand him. Okay. This is the Capitol Police chief. Like, what's his name? It's Michael Fanone, or is it Fanone? How do we pronounce it, Julie?
How about Fafoni?
Fafoni. I love it. I love it. Okay, so this guy, he apparently gives this guy, Ryan J. Riley, the permission to post this picture of him flipping off the camera, saying he's not going to be able to make Trump's arraignment, but he sends his regards. Julie, I have speculation about this guy because I Googled him right after I saw this image. It is the most scrubbed Google search I've ever been on. There is literally page after page after page of just the most sob stories because of what happened to him on January 6th. And the guy's just a dirtbag. What do you know about this phony Fanone guy?
So Michael Fafoni, we'll call him, was a D.C. Metro police officer. There's four, I call them January 6th celebrity cops, because they were instantly profiled in the media, made all kinds of claims about their injuries, made all kinds of claims about what happened inside the building. And Michael Fanone was one of them. So he claimed that he almost died that day, and he was allegedly tased by someone who's now been convicted of that. That he suffered a heart attack and a concussion, severe brain injuries, et cetera, et cetera. So what I posted today is so when he first took the public scene, he oddly had this Southern accent, even though he's a rich kid from Washington, D.C., who went to Georgetown Prep before he got kicked out. And his father is a big time attorney with a law firm connected to the Democratic Party. So no one could really figure out where this Southern accent came from, but he would give interviews and he gave testimony for the January 6th Select Committee, and you could hear this heavy drawl. Well, now all of a sudden, he's a CNN contributor, by the way. He left the police force. He's
of course
a CNN contributor. He wrote a book. Now all of a sudden, his accent is gone. So I have that up on my Twitter page today if anyone wants to check it out. But he is a phony. So are the other officers. And so three out of four of these celebrity cops, I call them, showed up at the courthouse yesterday, I guess, in solidarity against Donald Trump. Another officer, and I posted this a few weeks ago, Aquilina Gunnell, who is a Capitol Police officer, also claimed he almost died that day and sustained severe injuries at the hands of Trump supporters. But we just caught him on surveillance video for 7 minutes. after the alleged attack on him, walking around fine, moving around, no shoulder injury like he said he has, no foot injury that was smashed, he said, by a speaker, no head injuries, face, anything. Totally not even any indication of any pain. So these are what I called crisis actors to make it look like Trump supporters tried to kill police officers on January 6th. And Michael Cifone is probably the worst out of all of them.
He's disgusting, Julie. And the reason I have such a bone to pick with these guys is because, you know, Charlie said it on his Twitter, and I thought it was well stated. You know the moral quality of your opponent, or in this case, the Democrats, by the heroes that they lift up. And they are presenting this tattooed, like, gross, fake accent, rich daddy lawyer, Democrat insider who went to Georgetown Prep as this, like, working man who, you know, survived the mob. And it's they parade these people out there like they're somehow, you know, a saint. And they've got the most sympathetic. I'm telling you, there is something so astroturf about this guy that my spidey senses are going crazy. And I find him just disgusting on his face. And to see that he now is a CNN analyst, he's getting paid for. And you know, I don't want to speculate whether or not he had a heart attack, but it all feels very convenient, Julie. And I don't want to put you on the hot seat or whatever. But I mean, this whole thing feels so convenient. And I've never, ever seen a Google page so pristine. I mean, I couldn't find a negative article about this guy, even though I know that they've been written by folks like you and others that have covered the J6 hearings, the J6 committee, and all of the aftermath. They're out there. You can't find them. Now, I know Google suppresses everything that's conservative. I get it. It's worse than that. There is somebody with a lot of means and a lot of resources scrubbing this guy's account. And then here he is, like, flipping off the camera like some schmo. I just find it disgusting. But it is connected to what the larger topic that I wanted to discuss with you, Julie, is that we are hearing in general, and that's why I wanted to bring you on, that this newest indictment brought by Jack Smith, Trump was arraigned yesterday, is a copy-paste from the J6 committee. Can you shed some light on that? Is this really just – is Jack Smith lifting this directly from the committee hearings?
I mean, that's what it looks like. I mean, I posted a few passages comparing the indictment to passages in the January 6th Select Committee, and they're almost identical. Now, we know the DOJ and then Jack Smith has undertaken this January 6th investigation. They have a grand jury. They've hauled everyone in front of this grand jury, from, you know, Mike Pence down to campaign officials. So they obviously have testimony, but a lot of the quotes that are in there are also in the January 6th Select Committee, their final report that was issued in December. So it's going to be interesting how what discovery they provide to, meaning evidence to back up their claims. Why don't they just hand him the January 6th Select Committee report? Outside of some notes that were taken from Mike Pence, there really isn't a lot of new information in there. So, but look, as I've said too, this is not going to be the only indictment against Donald Trump for January 6th. I'm expecting at least a few superseding indictments.
Yes. That was literally my next question, because a lot has been made, Julie, about the fact that there was not seditious conspiracy in this indictment. Now, we saw, maybe this is a precursor of things to come, we saw with the Miami portion of this, the documents portion, that there was a superseding indictment. Is that your prediction, that seditious conspiracy is the next shoe to drop from Jack Smith, but it will be in the D.C. venue?
Yes, I'm not sure that will be the next indictment. My guess is the next superseding indictment will add maybe a few more conspiracy charges and add co-defendants, more importantly. So the superseding indictment generally adds co-defendants, adds charges. And I believe that they will probably bundle in a few of the co-conspirators. There were six of them unnamed in the indictment, but there were six. So I'm anticipating at least a few they'll tag into this indictment. But the seditious conspiracy superseding indictment could come months from now. But we see how Jack Smith is wielding his power to help protect the Bidens and protect Democrats. Every time there's a major bombshell out of Congress about Joe Biden's years of lies about his relationship with Hunter Biden and his overseas business partners, Jack Smith swoops in with an indictment, a superseding indictment, a target letter, another indictment. So I think this is the hammer, how he's going to use this as a political hammer to cover up emerging evidence of the Biden family crime racket and keep the focus and the heat on what's happening in these two cases with Donald Trump.
Yeah, and Julie, we have this graphic, if the team can pull it up. To your point, I mean, we saw June 7th, FBI releases documents to Congress alleging the Bidens took $10 million bribe, right? Then we have June 8th, Jack Smith indicts Trump in Mar-a-Lago docs case. July 26th, July 27th, July 31st, August 1st, this pattern repeats itself. July 26th, Hunter Biden goes to court and rejects sweetheart plea deal. July 27th, Jack Smith adds on more charges to Trump. That was the superseding indictment. July 31st, Hunter Biden's former business partner, Devin Archer, drops the bombshell that Biden was on over 20 calls. And then on August 1st, Jack Smith indicts Trump again. And I think Alina Haba had a great moment. She was trending everywhere on it.
People ask me all the time when I travel about Strong Cell. Charlie, is Strong Cell legit? Charlie, do you really believe in the anti-aging properties of NADH? Well, it's not a matter of whether or not if I believe it. It's the science. You guys could check it out. Back check me. Look at NAD and see what it could do for you. Well, look, I take NAD every single day. Strong Cell is a scientific breakthrough in cellular health replenishment that combines NADH, CoQ10, and marine collagen to boost your body's cellular function. I personally take Strong Cell every day, and so do a ton of Kirk listeners. Go see the reviews for yourself. If you are someone who relies on caffeine or sugar to get yourself going, then you have to give Strong Cell a try. I only have one important request, as I recommend this life-changing product. You've got to give it at least 4 weeks to realize the best results. It takes a little time to re-engineer your body's NADH. Think about it. It's been on decline in your middle-aged body for a year or so. So check it out. Go to strongcell.com/Charlie and read the personal testimonies for yourself. Then use promo code Charlie to get a special 20% discount on your order. Again, that's strongcell.com/Charlie. 20% discount, strongcell.com, promo code Charlie.
I want to hit this guy one more time because I absolutely detest the man, Michael Foney. Now, this is a bit of a provocative question, all right? Do you think these people, now I understand we're verging into conspiracy theory territory, but do you think that there's any possibility that this was planned out? Or do you think they're just like attention whores? These celebrity police officers, I mean, do you think they were given an assignment? I mean, we know that Trump authorized 10,000 National Guard. It was denied. We know that there was federal agents in the crowd that day. How far out there in this realm of speculation are you willing to go?
Well, look, the Michael Fanone case is very odd to me and always has been. He was a vice officer, tactical officer. He's on the streets, you know, sort of undercover in picking up, you know, drug dealers. Then all of a sudden on January 6th, he claims was the first time he had put on a uniform, I think, in 15 plus years. There just so happened
Wait, hold on. So he had been undercover at the Capitol previously, and then all of a sudden on January 6th, he puts on a uniform.
Not at the Capitol. He's a D.C. Metro police officer. So he's on their tech unit. He's not a Capitol police officer. He's D.C. Metro. You see him all tatted up. I mean, the guy's disgusting. But he has said that that was the first time he had put on a police uniform, I think he said, in his entire career. So they just happen to have a uniform waiting for Michael Fanone with the body cam camera on it, which, by the way, we haven't seen all the body cam. We see some of it, and then, of course, we see some of it afterwards, which he claimed he suffered all these injuries, and he's joking around with his colleagues about how he might get suspended again.
Now, Julie, we were just diving into the fact that Michael Phony Baloney here, Fanone, said it was the first time that he put on a police uniform, potentially in his whole career. Is that what you're saying on January 6th, 2021?
Yes. I believe that that's, I know that that's true. I don't know if it was in his entire career or it had been years since he wore any kind of uniform. But he claimed he heard on the radio that there were officers in distress. So he went back to the police station. Somehow there's a uniform waiting for him. Of course, we saw him in this January, in the January 6th Select Committee testimony. He had his uniform on with all kinds of little badges, like he's this decorated police officer. And so that's just another oddity about the Michael Sonoma story.
Odd.
Aside from the fact his father is this well-connected lawyer in Washington, D.C., tied to the Democratic Party, you see Nancy Pelosi constantly hugging him and kissing him. He shows up at some event with Hunter Biden. Like, this is not normal. If you're a police officer, a legitimate police officer who is involved in, you know, a protest, if you want to call it a riot, whatever, they don't go around giving interviews like this and hobnobbing, you know, with the president's son and hugging and, you know, having Nancy Pelosi just claw all over you. Like, that's not normal. And not only is his behavior not normal, neither is the behavior of the other three officers who have been pulled out as these celebrity cops with book deals, and they're constantly on social media and they're constantly on CNN and MSNBC. Not normal. So this is all part of creating the phony narrative about January 6th.
Yeah, he feels like an asset. He feels like a polished turd that has been parroted around and paraded around MSM, you know, regime media to sort of do this. I mean, he has been made for such a time as this is what it feels like, in a very negative way. Now, Julie, I want to just quickly transition here because let's put up Trump's recent Truth Social 160. It says, every one of these fake charges filed against me by the corrupt Biden DOJ could have been filed 2.5 years ago, but they waited and waited until I became dominant in the polls, and then they filed them all, including locals, right in the middle of the campaign. They want anybody but Trump. Not fair, and perhaps not legal. Election interference. Now, Julie, the larger question is this, and Trump's really getting at this. There's a lot of speculation about this trial timeline. You know, how much potential is there for Trump to basically dictate when the trial happens, either by rushing the trial date forward? In this case, you know, even Jonathan Turley was saying, hey, you know, give Jack Smith what he wants, a fair speedy trial here on this D.C. one that he just dropped, because SCOTUS is going to overturn it. And that might be a poll boost for Trump, perhaps. You know, what do you think is the best strategy given these competing indictments in different venues?
Well, I think I don't think either case goes to trial before the election. I don't care what Jack Smith says. They don't want it to go to trial because for a couple of reasons, especially in the January 6th case. Number one, there's a very slim chance that there could be an acquittal on any of those charges. That would be humiliation for Jack Smith. Number two, the obstruction of an official proceeding felony is headed towards the Supreme Court. It had a weird appellate ruling, and you have two defense attorneys who have already filed cert at the Supreme Court seeking to have this 1512C2 post-Enron law, never been used this way before, having a hearing on the validity of using that against political protesters. So at the same time, even if he got a conviction, the Supreme Court could overturn the use of that obstruction felony, and that would go away for Trump too. So there's a lot of legal and political danger for Jack Smith if he really puts either one of these on trial before the election. I don't think that he wants to. I think the classified documents case is actually far weaker than the January 6th, because, of course, that's also going to go to a D.C. jury, not a Southern Florida
jury.
Wait,
no. Yes. Let me just repeat what you just said. You said the exact opposite of what everybody on the talking head media is saying, that you think the documents case is weaker than the one that Jack Smith just dropped.
Absolutely. Absolutely weaker. This is why they want to keep all of it under strict protective orders. They want to even keep the documents away from Donald Trump himself, because this is a made-up case that they can't prove. And I think it's far weaker than this January 6th case.
Wow. Julie, you've been right about just about everything on this stuff. So that's why we love having you on. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you like what we do here on the show, if this show has touched you, if Charlie has taught you something, we have a whole new offering in store. It's called members.charliekirk.com. Charlie Kirk exclusive. You can find it at members.charliekirk.com. For a small monthly fee, you can support this show, support the team, support us, the producers, and get behind the work that we're doing. We're trying to build this community into something really, really fantastic where you guys get to be a part of an exclusive members-only club where you get to share comments, get to see exclusive context, exclusive interviews, including Tucker Carlson, Dan Bongino, Steve Bannon we're going to be dropping, Megyn Kelly, Patrick Byrne. This is a phenomenal asset and resource to you guys, and we're going to be continuing to roll out new features as we go. So please do check out members.charliekirk.com and support our work there. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.